Shadows of the Mind.
Episode 9.
Convergence.
At the funeral service for murdered robotics mogul Damian Lawrence, Damian's siblings and best friend delivered eulogies for the man who was integral to their lives.
After his funeral, Lila, the android accused of killing her creator in cold blood, remembered that she was reprogrammed to do so by Eddie Dodson, Damian's business partner. Damian's sister Desi, who watched the security footage from the night of the murder, went to confront Eddie.
"Tell me everything," said Derek. His mind was racing at a mile a minute, scrambling to understand. He'd heard Eddie's every word at the service, every detail about how Damian had saved him, had made him feel welcome and like he was part of something, just as Eddie had told both brothers for years.
How could he betray that? Betray us?
His hands stung with the strength of his grip on the steering wheel, and with each turn he made, fear jolted through him that he would angle the car too sharply, would take the turn too quickly. But he had to get to the warehouse where Eddie had said he would be.
"Burying myself in work makes it easier,"
he'd said.
"The first thing I remember from that night,"
said Lila from the passenger seat,
"I was on a table in the lab at LDE, unable to move. I heard Eddie's voice and the woman who attacked me when I went to your office, the android. He was worried I'd remember afterward, and she told him I wouldn't. He told her there were other ways to handle it. But she told him he had to, that Damian would want to expose him, to take everything from him. I don't know why."
"I have no idea," said Derek with a tight shake of his head. He met Ravenna's eyes in the rearview mirror. "Do you know anything about any of this?"
"Damian never told me he was in any kind of trouble,"
said Ravenna flatly.
"If he had, I would have dealt with it. We wouldn't be here."
She turned away and stared out the window, her jaw clenched. Derek returned his focus to the road. "Did they say anything else?" he asked Lila.
"She said Damian wouldn't think twice when he realized what Eddie was."
"Damian had something on him," said Derek. "If that android was there too, it has to be related, doesn't it?"
"At LDE, she said she was me, but better."
Derek sighed and accelerated, watching as the night whipped past outside the windows. He didn't know of any LDE models that had personal business with Eddie. Whether this android had been developed from their schematics or not, he'd never encountered her. "Eddie must have made her," he said. "He's covering for something."
The warehouse was dim, lit only by lamps scattered throughout the bleak gray hallways. Desi knew the building hadn't been frequented over the past several years, since her brothers and Eddie had become successful enough to pay for high-tech labs within LDE's headquarters. They hadn't had much use for an additional space to store research and old projects. As she turned a corner to the left, she caught sight of an open door down the hall, and she heard shuffling from beyond it. Her heart jumped into her throat. She tightened her grip on the gun she'd stolen from beneath the security desk in LDE's lobby. "You couldn't get out with it, Damian, but I'll make sure it gives him what he deserves." She'd spent the entirety of the drive to the warehouse working to persuade herself that she was capable of killing someone, killing the man she'd only just admitted that she loved. As Desi reached the doorway, she slipped the weapon behind her back. She stepped inside to find Eddie digging through a stack of holofiles. Her throat went dry and her body turned to stone. The thought of the man who had wiped her tears and kissed gentle lines across her skin in the darkness being responsible for her brother's death was unfathomable, now that she stood in his presence. He'd kissed her like she was the reason he was breathing. Her hands shook so severely she feared he would hear the gun's mechanical parts quivering. She opened her mouth to speak and shut it again when no words would come. "Be brave. Do it for Damian." The thought of her brother lying limp against the lobby doors was all she needed to summon her voice. It came out hard, like she'd swallowed a dagger that had finally worked its way back up her throat. "Why did you kill him?" Eddie froze so completely he might have been a statue.
"What are you talking about, Desi?"
"Why did you kill Damian?" Slowly, Eddie laid his files on the table in front of him and turned to face her. His face was perfectly neutral apart from the furrow of his brow and the slight widening of his eyes.
"I don't know what you're talking about,"
Eddie said carefully.
"Are you all right? Did something happen after I left?"
"What happened," Desi snarled, "is that I watched the security video." She pulled the gun from behind her back and trained it on his heart, willing her arms to remain perfectly still. All of it.
"Desi, what are you... Put that down, please."
With each word, his mask slipped a bit more, giving way to full-blown panic.
"You're distressed. With what you've been through in the last week, I don't blame you for... Please, put it..."
"Don't you dare pretend I'm imagining this." She took a step closer, moving across the threshold into the small office. Behind Eddie was a long glass window that overlooked an immense room filled with crates and assembly equipment. Apart from the door Desi obstructed, there was no exit. I said I want to know why. She took another step and only a few feet remained between them.
You know Lila shot him,
said Eddie, shaking his head slowly.
You know she did.
Lila wasn't in control of herself. You manipulated her just like you manipulated me.
At these words, his face fell, pain twisting his lips.
Everything I ever said about you and me is 100% true. I've been in love with you since—
Stop it!
Desi shouted, needing to cut off the words that had sliced straight through her. She barely registered the tears sliding down her cheeks or the thought that she should have told Derek where she was going. Raising her arms, she shifted the gun's aim to Eddie's forehead.
Stop! Tell me why you made her kill him!
Because he was a threat!
He cried, his face contorting in rage.
Everything I've ever done has been for this company. I've poured everything I am into it, and the one idea I wanted to pursue that he didn't. He was going to destroy me, Desi, and all that I've done, all that I've made. He was going to make sure I went down for every sin my creation ever committed. And she was made to help people. I've wanted to save lives, not take them. I never wanted her to hurt anyone. Damien forced my hand.
Lila isn't your creation.
Desi's tone was low and venomous, her lips curling around every syllable.
Not Lila.
Eddie moved closer.
Damien would never have turned on you because of some project. He never would have hurt you.
Desi had been too consumed by her need to understand to realize that Eddie had come just near enough to reach her weapon. In one fluid movement, he grabbed it by the barrel and pulled it to the side, but she refused to release her hold on the one advantage she still possessed. Eddie wrenched the gun back, and Desi, still clinging to it, found herself slammed hard into the edge of the table. Her breath exploded from her lungs in a huff as pain splintered up her side, but she clawed at Eddie's arms even as he dragged her farther onto the table. Holo files clattered to the floor and splayed across the tiles, displaced by her body. An image of him staring down into her eyes as she lay in his bed flickered through her mind. Don't let go. Don't let go. She wrapped her leg around Eddie's arm and dug the heel of her shoe into his shoulder. He hissed sharply.
Enough!
He cried. He removed one of his hands from the gun and attempted to pry her heel from where it dug into him, but she only pressed it in deeper. His grip on the gun faltered. Using all her strength to pull the weapon back toward her, Desi was unprepared for the sudden loss of resistance. She inadvertently squeezed the trigger, and the momentum with which she'd wrenched the gun toward her caused her to fall backward, with Eddie, whom the grip of her legs pulled along, through the glass the plasma bolt had just shattered.
Lila's pulse raced in time with her footfalls. She knew she could be moving much more quickly, but she couldn't risk losing track of Derek and Ravenna when she had no idea what awaited them within the warehouse. Still, the need to surge forward and find Eddie, to stop him from endangering another life, was coiled within her muscles, prepared to overtake her if she allowed her control to slip. The gray walls of the warehouse were vaguely familiar, but she couldn't recall the last time she'd been here. She followed directly behind Derek and Ravenna, the former leading the group through the corridors. Lila was the only one who wasn't holding a plasma gun. She couldn't describe how thankful she was that they both believed her. Derek had seemed relieved even in his betrayal that he could direct the blame to someone other than her. Much of the tension that had served as a wall between them for the past few days had evaporated the moment he told her to join him as he tracked down Eddie. He'd grabbed the weapon from his nightstand on the way out the door.
You never learn!
At the sound of the voice from her right, Lila froze. She turned her head to find the auburn-haired android from Derek's office standing in the doorway to a dark room. What do you want? Lila demanded. Why are you— Before another word could leave her lips, the woman's hand was around her throat, slamming her into the wall. In her periphery, Lila saw Derek and Ravenna, who had gotten several paces ahead, halt. A bang echoed on either side of them, and the woman whipped around, Lila still held by her throat, and the plasma bolt from Ravenna's gun ricocheted off the wall. Find Eddie! Lila choked out, her eyes flicking to Derek's terrified face. I've got her!
We aren't leaving!
Lila swung her knee hard into the woman's stomach, and her attacker's grip faltered. Lila pried the woman's fingers back, channeling all her strength into snapping her index finger as far as it would go. She felt the bone, or whatever had been used to resemble one, crack and slide out of place. The woman shrieked and released Lila, who did not hesitate before swinging her elbow hard into her attacker's ribs. Go! She shouted to Derek. He fired his weapon and a plasma bolt sizzled into the woman's wrist as she reached for Lila again. The woman rounded on Derek, and Lila grabbed her by the shoulder and wrenched her backwards, slamming her to the floor. Find him! She demanded. She glanced up long enough to see Ravenna grab him by the elbow and haul him off down the corridor, and then she returned her focus to the woman. Who are you? Her dark lips contorting in rage, the woman swung for Lila's face, and Lila fainted to the side, sinking her elbow into her attacker's back when the woman whipped past her. The woman doubled over and gripped her knees for a moment before turning toward Lila once more. Her wrist was bleeding where Derek had shot her. Blood trailed down to the index finger that hung limp from the same hand.
My name is Mia,
the woman snarled.
and I don't have time to waste on you.
In a blur, Mia shot off in the direction where Ravenna had disappeared. Lila pursued her, allowing herself to access the height of her speed at last.
Time moved far more slowly than Eddie had anticipated between the window shards embedding into his arms and back and the inevitable impact with the floor of the warehouse beneath the observation deck. As he fell, images splintered through his mind. Eddie drummed his fingers against the table in front of him. He fought the itch at the back of his head, telling him to glance over his shoulder, and kept his eyes focused on the empty booth in front of him. He'd been given no details about whomever he was supposed to be meeting, and the longer he spent in the cafe, the more certain he became that he had been tricked. In his periphery, he saw the middle-aged brunette from the table to his right stand and approach him. He inhaled and rolled his shoulders backward. "Relax," he told himself. The woman slipped into the bench opposite him, and he took in her navy suit jacket and the determined set of her lips.
"Mr. Dodson?"
she inclined her head to him. Eddie blinked. "You know my name, but I don't know yours. That's hardly fair." She nodded and extended a hand.
"You have a point. I'm Clarice."
Eddie hesitated for the span of a heartbeat and then shook her hand. It was cold and he released it quickly. "Not to be rude, Clarice," he said, "but what is it exactly that you want from me?"
"Down to business already. All right."
She shrugged, and she was watching him so intently that he couldn't stop himself from shifting in his seat.
"I'd like to start by saying that it's not me that wants anything from you. It's the organization I work for. We've been watching you for quite some time now, and we've come to learn a few things about you."
Eddie attempted to keep his tone devoid of emotion, though his discomfort was growing with each word she spoke. "Such as?"
"You're always doing everything you can to prove yourself, be it to your business partners, their family, or anyone else."
He said nothing. He felt no obligation to confirm something she'd evidently gathered by spying on him.
"Each of the LDE founders brings something different to the table. Damien's the visionary, while Derek's more practical, and you're the real technical genius."
"Does any of this have a point?"
"It does, yes. Because we also know that you tend to go out of your way to help people. We need your help."
"With what?" She took a deep breath.
"As you may have heard, the army is in a bit of a bad spot at the moment."
Eddie's stomach churned.
"A few years ago, they decided that the reason for their failure was simple. Soldiers are human."
Eddie raised a brow. "Yes, they are."
"That's where my organization comes in. We reasoned that, without the possibility of human error, our armed forces would have a much better chance at holding their own against their enemies. Picture this. What if we didn't send human soldiers into battle? What if, instead, we sent...
androids?"
"Exactly."
Clarice nodded. "She can't be serious," Eddie thought. "LDE doesn't build soldiers. We don't build weapons. Why come to me? Doesn't the government have anyone capable of doing this?" Clarice closed her eyes.
"Well, we thought so once. During the last conflict in the Middle East, we assembled a group of some of the greatest minds in the country. We had the goal of creating the perfect soldier, and at one point, we thought we'd succeeded. We wanted the androids to be able to work effectively in all situations without emotions disrupting the execution of their orders. Unfortunately, our plans worked too well. The androids did exactly what they were supposed to. They took out a small group of enemy forces."
She opened her eyes but did not look at Eddie. Instead, she folded her hands on the table and stared down at them.
"But they didn't stop there. Apparently, a member of the enemy group escaped to a nearby town, and the androids followed him. They destroyed the entire town, and everyone in it."
Eddie lowered his hands to rest on his knees beneath the table to keep her from seeing them tighten into fists. He could never imagine Lila doing something that heartless. But Clarice had said the military androids had been designed to act without emotion, and Eddie supposed that was what separated them from his own creations. LDE thrived on being the only company that had mastered the near-human android. Clarice shook her head.
"That was a long time ago. The fighting eventually ended, and that was that. We didn't know what to do next. Without the pressure of an ongoing conflict, we didn't feel the need to give ourselves a time limit to perfect the process of creating the soldiers. We kept trying, testing our creations on a much smaller scale than before. They just never seemed to work right. There was always a flaw. What that was varied from one attempt to the next. The complete lack of morals, a physical problem like succumbing too easily to enemy fire, or any number of other things. We just couldn't get it right. But because it was a time of peace, we weren't too concerned. Now, though, with what's going on in Asia..."
"You're going to try it again."
"Yes. But we've lost what little faith we had in the team that was supposed to be in charge of creating the soldiers."
She took a deep breath.
"You have no idea how long we've been watching you and the others. In my personal opinion, if anyone can do this, it's you."
Clarice rose from her seat.
"Thank you for your time, Mr. Dodson. I'll be in touch."
Without another word, she departed. Eddie laid his elbow on the table and dropped his face into his hand. "This is ridiculous," he mumbled. Nevertheless, he was intrigued. Eddie threw open the door of the base and darted outside into the blinding sunlight. He scanned his surroundings frantically for the source of the crash he'd heard from within the building. His heart thumped so rapidly it nauseated him, and he couldn't rid himself of the flashes of Mia snapping the assault rifles of the soldiers tasked with testing her abilities. An image of her snapping the arm of one of the soldiers turned Eddie's blood cold. She'd grabbed that man's gun and turned it on him immediately afterward. Damien and Derek hadn't wanted their work weaponized. The second Eddie had mentioned that androids would be ideal candidates to fight wars and keep human soldiers out of harm's way, they'd both shot him down. He told himself he could do this on his own, that Mia was his solution. She would save lives, would prove that he could do something to help the world. But now that she'd broken out of the testing arena and fled, he had no idea what she was capable of. Two blocks down the road, a crowd was gathering. Around what, Eddie couldn't tell. A police car had already arrived, and multiple other vehicles had ceased to move on the ground level of traffic while the cars above it continued onward.
I didn't mean for it to turn out like this.
He turned to see Mia standing behind him. Hesitation lurked in her eyes. Otherwise, her face was expressionless, but the note of fear in her tone unnerved him. What are you talking about?
I never should have run. It was a mistake. I thought you said I was ready, that I was supposed to fight them. I didn't know one shot would
Mia,
kill...
Mia, what happened? Demanded Eddie. He was struggling to sort through everything he'd seen, and he didn't have the time or patience to hear her try and rationalize it. His creation had just killed at least one soldier, maybe more. He hadn't stayed long enough to find out. He'd begged Clarice to let him be the one to follow Mia when she'd escaped the testing area hidden beneath the abandoned shoe factory, to find her before anyone else did. He'd been told the observation room next to his had held government officials, and he had no idea what they would want to do to her. He'd lost her for several minutes, and in downtown Albany, there were too many civilians she could endanger. He had to get control of the situation. Mia opened her mouth as though to speak, and then shut it again. She folded her arms across her chest, turned, and strode off down the street, away from the gathering mass of people. Mia! She continued to walk away. Eddie hesitated, torn by the obligation to follow her, and the need to see what she was avoiding. He cursed under his breath and started toward the expanding crowd. By the time he reached the scene, two more police cars had arrived, along with the ambulance. Silently, he wove through the crowd, attempting to piece together a rough interpretation of what had happened.
Someone ran out in front of me!
Exclaimed a man in a red jacket. He spoke frantically to one of the police officers and a gaggle of eavesdroppers. Eddie pretended not to be listening as he passed them.
I swerved. I didn't want to hit her, officer, and I hit them. I didn't mean to. It wasn't my fault.
His breath swept from his lungs as he caught sight of the accident. A van was embedded in the side of a small black car. The latter was reduced to a nearly unrecognizable heap of metal. It lay upside down, and both front doors had been removed. No one was inside. EMTs were lifting two stretchers into the ambulance. The person on each was covered with a white blanket from head to toe. After the ambulance had been loaded, two of the EMTs shut the doors and climbed into the vehicle. What happened? Eddie asked one of the uniformed medics who remained. He already knew the answer, but he couldn't process it. He couldn't allow himself to believe that Mia had caused this, that these people had died because of her too. The EMT turned to him and shook her head.
The media's gonna have a field day.
I'm sorry, Eddie breathed. A hand gripped his shoulder.
We need to go,
said Mia's voice in his ear. Did you run in front of that van? Eddie hissed, his voice too low for the EMTs to hear.
Come on, we need to get out of-
Eddie ignored her. Who were they? He asked the EMT.
Senator Lawrence and his wife.
The world was spinning. Eddie couldn't breathe. This isn't happening. He backed up slowly, his mind reeling as he stepped off the road and began retracing his steps toward the factory, Mia keeping pace at his side. No, this isn't possible. They were supposed to be in Washington, not here. A glance back at the scene of the accident told him that the media had arrived. News vans and paparazzi swarmed the demolished car. Eddie tuned them out. He didn't need to know anything more. It had happened, and it was his fault. He remembered the first time Damien had invited him over, when they'd been in fourth grade. The way Henry and Samantha had quickly become like a second set of parents to him. They'd never forgotten a birthday, never missed an opportunity to tell him how glad they were that their sons had such a good friend. Eddie ran for the bushes growing at the edge of the factory's lawn, ignoring the eyes he felt pressing in on him from the windows. He dry-heaved, clutching his knees, closing his eyes against the tears that made them burn. They'd never forgive me.
Eddie, I...
Don't. He turned to fix a cold glare on Mia, shaking off the hand she'd laid on his shoulder. Don't even try. He didn't know what he would do with her now. He couldn't stand to look at her for more than a moment,
and he averted his eyes to the ground at her feet before looking up at the factory's windows. Clarice stared at him from within, unhidden horror on her face.
So, I've been contacted by someone named Seward?
Eddie's grip on the phone tightened. He felt a rush of gratitude that Damien couldn't see his panic. Who? He asked as evenly as he could manage. He remembered that name, the agent who had contacted him to request that he send Mia back to try again. She'd said Clarice had left the organization, that its new leader had hope that they could still find a way to make Mia a viable option for the military's use.
She says she's with something called the Division,
Damien continued.
She says she's worried for your safety and has been trying to reach out to you, but that you've been ignoring her. She told me about Mia.
The image of the white sheets covering Henry and Samantha Lawrence 8 years earlier flashed to the forefront of Eddie's thoughts. What about Mia? Eddie breathed.
That she's dangerous? That she's killed people? That she could very well kill again if you don't deactivate her now?
How much does he know? Surely they wouldn't have told him anything about—
I can't believe you turned our work into a weapon, Eddie. How could you do this to us? To LDE? God, is she based on Lila? Did you turn everything we've worked for into... Derek is going to lose his mind. Can you imagine what people will do when—
We need to talk about this somewhere more secure. Eddie was frightened by how easily the suggestion came out, how calm his voice remained. We don't need to worry Derek about it yet. Can you meet me at headquarters?
My flight gets in at 10. I'll be there as soon as I can.
The line went dead.
Desi knew she was bleeding. She could feel the blood seeping through her dress and the bits of glass that had embedded in her skin on impact with the window. What she'd anticipated would be a quick fall into the next room had turned into a three-story tumble from the observation level to the floor of the immense room beneath it. She was almost certain she imagined the tightening of Eddie's hands on her as they turned mid-air just before they reached the concrete. He hit the ground first, Desi slamming on top of him on her side. The shards embedded in her left shoulder, when caught between their bodies, sank in deeper. She bit her inner cheek against the pain until she tasted the copper tang of blood. Her head pounded from the impact of the glass, and with Eddie's shoulder upon landing and the room before her spun in a blurry wave of machinery and stacked dusty crates, her body felt like a pincushion, and when she opened her eyes to see that she'd been stabbed by more pieces of glass than she could count with her head swimming so severely, nausea rolled up into her throat. Get the gun. She vaguely processed that she'd released it during the fall, and she reached out over the ice-cold concrete, searching. She spotted it a few yards out of her reach, lying beside an empty crate that lay on its side. Beneath her, Eddie stirred. He let out a groan and searched the area with his hands, one skimming up Desi's back before he jolted and apparently regretted the sudden movement as he let out a hiss.
Are you okay?
Desi rolled off of him and attempted to stand. Her legs quaked beneath her and she knew her high heels would no longer serve her. She kicked them off and stumbled toward the gun, bending to retrieve it before starting for the stacks of crates at the heart of the room. If Eddie was still incapacitated, she had to use her moment of opportunity. The warehouse swayed and dipped around her. Raising her free hand to the back of her head, she pulled her fingers away, dappled with blood. Damn it, she hissed. She wound her way between stacks of boxes and leaned heavily against them, struggling to calm herself and remain perfectly silent. The room around her was just as still. She had no idea where Eddie was.
I can't lose her. I can't let her out of my sight for even a second. Lila pushed her body forward as quickly as it would move. They hadn't passed Derek and Ravenna, which she knew meant that Mia had led her down the wrong path. On either side of them, the doors lining the hallway were closed, and up ahead, the dim space gave way to an empty doorway leading to a well-lit room. She grabbed Mia by the shoulder and slammed her against the wall, determined to slow her. Mia let out a slow breath on impact and whipped around, swiping her fingernails across Lila's chest. Lila hissed as she felt them sink into her skin, and she glanced downward to see blood forming in pinpricks along scratches. Deal with it later. Fighting through the searing of her chest, Lila pursued Mia to the end of the hall and into the immense room beyond it. Stacks of crates, each half Lila's height, rose 5 to 10 high toward the ceiling in the rows of rooms that overlooked the area. Machines she recognized as parts of a disused assembly line had been shoved against the left wall. At the far end of the room, one of the observation windows had been shattered.
The ribbed metallic surface of the crate at Desi's back was both cool against her cuts and agonizing when it happened to bump the glass shards still protruding from her flesh. Her thoughts flicked to her phone, which she'd foolishly left in her purse in the floorboard of her car. If I don't get out of here, I can't tell the police. I can't tell Derek or Ravenna or Lila. She deserves for people to know the truth. Desi pulled in a deep, shaky breath and took a step to the left, peering around the crates in front of her to determine whether she was alone.
It doesn't have to be this way.
The voice from behind her set her every hair on end. Yesterday, it would have given her the same goosebumps without the accompanying lurch of her stomach. How did he get so close so quickly? Eddie's fingers closed around her wrist, and she stomped hard on his foot. He released her with a pained grunt, and she shot forward at as close to a dead run as she could manage when her every muscle and inch of skin burned and ached.
Desi!
At the sound of her brother's voice, she froze. She searched out the source of the sound and spotted Derek standing by a door halfway down the stadium-length room, holding a gun. She charged toward him.
Derek, run! It's Eddie! He's...
Something slammed into her from behind so quickly and forcefully that she tumbled to the floor, her weapon slipping from her grasp and sliding away from her as her head smacked against the concrete. The room spun sickeningly, and she fought to keep her eyes open despite the spots flashing through her vision as Eddie wrenched her to her feet. Let go of me, Desi demanded. He kept one arm wrapped around her, pinning her arms to her sides, and forced her forward until they reached the gun she'd dropped. He retrieved it from the floor and pressed its icy barrel to her temple. What are you doing? She whispered, fear flooding through her limbs and turning them to stone. In front of them, Derek had paused halfway to where they stood, his eyes wide and his shoulders heaving with his breath. His weapon was raised, pointed at Eddie. When Eddie shifted to place Desi between them, Derek lowered the gun several inches.
I'm sorry,
Eddie muttered.
This isn't what I wanted.
Then don't do it.
I have to, Desi. This is bigger than you know.
She felt him inhale, and when he spoke again, his voice was louder, reverberating against her back where it met his chest.
I need to get out of here, Derek. Let me leave and I won't hurt her.
Let her go!
Derek took a step toward them and Eddie tightened his grip on Desi, pulling a gasp from her lips.
Why are you doing this? We've been nothing but good to you! How could you do this to us? To Damien!
Some things aren't about you,
said Eddie. He took a step backward, dragging Desi with him. She struggled against his grasp, but he dug the gun's barrel into her skin, and when the pressure and sting became unbearable, she abandoned her efforts. She kept her focus on Derek as she was pulled away from him, wanting nothing more than to reach out and throw her arms around him and apologize for everything she'd done, blaming Lila without looking for further proof, turning to Eddie in her time of despair instead of turning to her brother. Instead, she could only watch as he moved farther away from her.
Lila remained as close to the nearest stack of crates as she could when she grabbed Mia by the arm and hauled her backward. Mia spun midair and swung her fist at Lila's head. Lila ducked and left Mia to make contact with the crates, and as she dove out of the way, the pile collapsed on Mia. An instant later, the unmistakable sound of a gunshot rang through the warehouse.
Ravenna didn't lower her weapon after she fired. She wound through the stacks of boxed equipment to search Eddie out separately from Derek, who she'd known would blow his cover the instant he had the chance. She hadn't been disappointed by his reaction. She followed his shouts and had slid into place just as she'd heard the crash from the other side of the storage room. When Eddie had looked toward the sound, it had given Ravenna the split second she needed to fire. She watched as Eddie's weight shifted, the shot in the side of his knee unbalancing him enough to cause him to lose his grip on Desi, who crumbled to the floor. Ravenna rushed out from where she'd hidden between two stacks and wrestled the gun from Eddie's hand as he clutched at his bloody knee with the other, hissing through gritted teeth. All at once, he collapsed beside where Desi had landed. Derek rushed to his sister's side and threw himself down next to her, smoothing her hair from her face and surveying her injuries as Ravenna stood over Eddie, her boot pressing down on his hand until he released the gun. She kicked it away, and it skittered out of his reach. "Give me one reason," she snarled, her weapon trained on his heart. A second crash sounded from across the room. Eddie met her gaze, his jaw clenched against his pain.
"I'm not alone,"
Ravenna frowned. Before she had the chance to speak, an auburn-haired woman appeared at her side.
"Get away from him!"
the woman spat. She grabbed Ravenna by the arm and hurled her across the floor, several yards past where Derek sat with Desi. Ravenna did her best to redirect her momentum to her advantage, but she only managed to minimize the impact area, landing hard on her side. Pain shot through her ribs. When she looked up again, the woman had hoisted Eddie from the floor and onto her shoulder. Within seconds, they had disappeared from view.
Derek had no time to react to the woman's reappearance before she and Eddie had gone. Mentally screaming at himself for being unable to do more to stop them from escaping or to punish Eddie for what he had done, Derek redirected his focus to his sister. Her eyes were closed, but she clung to his hand so tightly he half feared his fingers would break. Her back and arms were lined with deep cuts and scrapes, shards of glass still embedded in her skin. She was covered in blood. "What happened to you?" he asked her softly. "What can I do?"
"Tried to get the gun,"
Desi breathed.
"Went through window."
Derek winced. He laid his weapon down on the floor and squeezed his sister's hand. We'll get you out of here. A gust of air from his left drew his attention, and he looked up to find Lila standing beside him, looking distraught.
I'm so sorry,
she said.
I tried to stop her. I had her beneath a pile of boxes, but she got up and knocked me into one halfway across the room, and by the time I dug my way out...
She chewed her lip and looked at Desi.
Is she okay? I should have gotten here sooner. I shouldn't have let Mia lead me in the wrong direction. I shouldn't have...
Lila, it's okay. Derek kept his hold on Desi while resting his free hand on Lila's arm. If you hadn't kept her attention as long as you did, we might not have made it. At the sound of footsteps approaching from behind him, Derek glanced over his shoulder to see Ravenna, whose focus remained solely on Lila.
I should have known it wasn't all your fault,
Ravenna said.
I'm sorry for everything.
Lila closed her eyes.
Regardless of whether Eddie used me to do it, I'm still sorry that he could.
Ravenna nodded. Derek nudged Desi, whose eyelids were fluttering. She seemed to be having difficulty staying awake. We're going home, he said quietly. Everything is going to be all right. Another round of footsteps, this one quicker and louder, approached where they were gathered. When Derek realized how many people such a loud series of steps had to belong to, and heard voices identifying themselves as the NYPD, he let out a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding. He nearly forgot that no one had called the police.
Ravenna knelt in front of the tall white headstone, not caring whether the dirt stained her knees. She'd waited until Damien's extended family and friends had departed and had asked Derek and Desi to give her a moment alone. She cast a glance toward Derek's car to find them standing beside it along with Lila, and then she returned her focus to the pale marble in front of her. Damien Michael Lawrence, June 17th, 2201 to July 25th, 2232. Beloved brother, companion, and friend. Mystery creates wonder, and wonder is the basis of man's desire to understand. Doing her best not to allow herself to tremble, Ravenna traced the letters of his name with her fingertips. I miss you, she whispered. I miss your smile being the first thing I see every morning. She told herself that at least his casket had been open unlike the previous night, as Derek had told her. She'd gotten to see Damien's face one last time. His expression had been peaceful, almost content. Ravenna sighed and leaned forward, resting her forehead against the cool stone. In the distance, she heard the trilling of birds and the wind brushing through leaves, and she found the stillness apart from these things a relief. The bustle of downtown Manhattan was unwelcome in this yard, and she knew Damien would have preferred to be buried here, beside his parents at the edge of their family's estate. I wish I'd gotten to tell you, she went on, but I only just found out for sure. You're going to be a dad. The tears that had stopped after his burial returned, despite her efforts to hold them back. She didn't bother wiping them away. I wish you were here, Damien. I wish more than anything that you could help me raise this baby. I love you, and I always will. She pushed herself to her feet, tracing the lines of his name once more before she started toward the car.
At the sound of the door closing, Eddie lifted his head. He'd been lying in a borrowed bed for the better part of 2 days, and Mia had refused so far to tell him whose house they were in or why they were here. He hadn't complained after she'd tended to his injured leg, but he was more unsettled with each passing hour. His life as he knew it was over. He couldn't go home. He couldn't return to LDE. Couldn't be with the woman he loved. She hates me. She has to. He pushed these thoughts away before they could break him into pieces and focused on the man who had entered. His hair was white blonde, almost silver. A jagged scar traced his face from his emerald eyes to his chin. He was smiling. The expression looked wrong on his face.
How are you feeling, Mr. Dodson? I'm sorry about your leg, but you're welcome to stay until you recover.
Eddie sat up and ignored the muscles in his thigh and calf screaming in protest. Thank you. Mia didn't tell me anyone else was here.
Mia and I are old friends,
said the man, holding out a hand to Eddie.
It's wonderful to finally meet you. My name is Osiris.